Shine in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Shine through our lives, Lord Jesus. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I tell you, in case you're interested, that today I'm totally deaf on my left side, so I'm not sure whether I'm shouting at you or whispering. If I'm shouting, you'll tell me. If I'm whispering and you can't hear, you won't tell me. I realize that. The title for this sermon is Mixed Feelings About Mixed Feelings. And it occurs to me, and I mean no rudeness to anybody here or under a certain age, that I sort of have mixed feelings when my grandson Paxton comes to stay. I don't tend to have mixed feelings when he goes to leave. These past few days, for various reasons, I have experienced a certain degree of tension and of mixed feelings. And I sense that this is expressed in today's Bible readings, but also in our wider community of town and state, of nation and global community. The mixed feelings began in earnest when Wendy and I returned to Philadelphia last weekend to attend the wedding of an erstwhile colleague and then the 25th anniversary of Dr. John French as organist choirmaster of the church I once served for 11 years. It was, and of course I mean no offense to all you dear beloved laity, it was weird to be back in the church where I had served and directed things for 11 years and to sit in a pew, being spoken to, being directed. And I remembered the title of Thomas Wolfe's book, You Can't Go Home Again, with the emphasis on the again. But the mixed feelings became even more confused as July the 4th came around. For these celebrations bring mixed feelings to this Brit by birth and American by choice. Mixed feelings as I recognize these colors of red, white, and blue, but now they're all rearranged in a glorious new pattern. Mixed feelings when I come to sing My Country, 'Tis of Thee, but to the tune that I once used to sing the words, God Save Our Gracious Queen. Mixed feelings. And then, as I reflected, I came to conclude that to be human is to live often in the atmosphere of mixed feelings, whether we like it or not, to swim in an ocean of conflicting thoughts. And I've also concluded that if I were to live a life of settled decision with no tension, it would be a life that was boring and at risk of becoming indifferent to God and to God's constant offer of grace. It would mean I would be tempted to inhabit a make-believe world of self-sufficiency where I needed no one or nothing. The prophet Zechariah, in chapter 9, walks with his people as they engage with mixed feelings of anticipation. On the one hand, as my economist training taught me, on the one hand, they want the king to come triumphant and victorious, but on the other hand, they wish him to come humble and riding on a donkey. And then Jesus in Matthew 11 remarks on the mixed feelings, the confused and conflicting hopes of the crowd who condemn on one hand John for his sobriety and his plainness of living, and they say, well, he has a demon. But then on the other hand, they condemn Jesus for his engagement with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus, the man that you would want to invite to a party. Though the church has often done a number on that truth. Truly damned if you do, damned if you don't. And then, friends, we come to the confessor of confused thoughts, the missionary of mixed feelings, forgive me, the apostle of antipathetic considerations. Listen to these words of St. Paul. And though they're fun to read, you and I know that they are pain to live. The good that I would, that I do not, and what I would not, that I do. Does that register? Not about me, about you. The good that I would, that I do not, and that I would not, that I do. It's as if, no matter how much we find it hard to understand and sympathize with Paul, here at last we say, Paul, you are speaking our language. Now, we would like to think that Jaden, Natalie, Cecilia, and Grace, children to be baptized today, would have no experience of these mixed emotions or conflicting feelings. And yet all of us who are or have been parents know what it is to face a child who is so frustrated that the best we can do is to hold them tightly until that emotion of mixed feelings and angst passes away. The only resolution for them in that situation is to hold them tightly with loving, sensitive, and compassionate arms. And we need the same. It is as you and I experience embracing love and constant presence and indefatigable hope that we find relief from the tension that surrounds us, the tension in which we often feel immersed. At times, we simply need a break, a pause, a rest. We need, in Zechariah's words, to be prisoners who are freed from waterless pits and rescued prisoners restored to safe places. Here we need to make that profound discovery that St. Paul makes and that causes him to shout with joy, "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ, our Lord." The so-called comfortable words at the end of today's gospel are intended for all people, and no less for those who find themselves embroiled in inner conflict and psychic tension. You know the invitation. "Come to me," says Jesus. You know who are the guests. All you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and you know the event to which you are all invited, "I will give you rest." It is not a sign of our weakness that we are often overwhelmed by mixed feelings, but what is absolutely unnecessary is that we carry them alone. So Jesus, who loves us and these four children with such an ardent love, invites them and us to walk in step with him, carrying a burden made easier by a yoke that is shaped for our very shoulders and our necks to carry with him. As I wrote and thought about those words, "a yoke for two," I couldn't get out of my mind. I know, you know what's coming. I couldn't get out of my mind that song, "A Bicycle Made for Two." And if I'd had time, I would have changed all the words and sung it to you with reference to Matthew. But you're pleased I did not. Jesus promises us not a permanent respite. He promises us a temporary rest that we may go back to life but sharing the burden with him. The day will come, and it seems strange to talk about this on a day of baptisms, but the day will come when one day we will be liberated from mixed feelings and creative tensions. On that day, our relationship with Jesus will be unfettered, unencumbered, and crystal clear. But until then, we ache and yearn that these words of the Good Shepherd will be grafted in our hearts and shape our lives. Friends, hear and receive them again. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thanks be to God from the bottom of our souls. Thanks be to God. Amen.